And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right there? Hello, are you there?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Who are you, sir?
My name is Mark Mothersbaugh.
Hello, Mark. What is happening with you right now? What's going on? You're coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct. I'm bringing some of my artwork to a gallery, and hopefully if all goes well, I'll be there tomorrow with it.
It is the B-Fly Gallery, and it's 341 Water Street in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the second floor, and it's going to be an exhibition, Mark, of your postcards. Now, I kind of love postcards. What exactly are these postcards like? Like, I saw pictures of them on the website, but what differentiates,
gotcha. Well, they're not really postcards, but that's where the image bank came from, because I draw on the back of postcard-sized paper every day for about 30-some years now. And that's where the images originate. And then these are larger pieces I've painted and printed and collaged together. And so they're like snowshoe size or something, I guess.
Now, what exactly do you do with them? Like you said, you painted on them. What do they look like for people that haven't seen them? What do they look like? And they can buy them, right?
Yeah. Yes, as a matter of fact, that's correct. If you have a consumerist side to you, you can like not only devour them with your eyes, but you can devour them with your whatever in your pocket at the time.
And Mark, you've been showing these for 30 years? Have they been on exhibition for 30 years? Are there any that are 30 years old?
No. I've been just doing visual artwork in this, you know, from the size of postcards for about 30 years now. Before, I had a band called Devo, and before Devo was popular, I used to do gallery shows. I was a visual artist, and we all were artists and kind of met that way. And then the band just kind of took over for a large period of time there.
Well, Mark Mothersbaugh, looking at your postcards that you put together, are any of them from the Devo era? Like, are they all recently made, or are there any of them from the Devo era that maybe, like, you scratch backstage at, like, ERG, a music war, or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, there's stuff from every day, pretty much every day, in my life for the last 30 years, and it's kind of like a diary and just kind of one man's observation of life on planet Earth, basically.
Now, Mark, your bandmate, Jerry, from Devo, described Devo as a thinking man's kiss. How would you describe your artwork, Mark Mothersbaugh?
If you know who Boogie Boy was in Devo, he was kind of the infantile spirit of the evolution and was more unfiltered information. That's sort of how that's probably the best description for this artwork, in the sense that where Devo was very conceptual, and we came up with the movie ideas we wanted for the films we wanted to make before we even had a song, and then we'd write a song to fit it, and it was always a collaboration of five people. This artwork is kind of like the other side of the coin. It's more personal, in the sense that oftentimes for periods of time I'd go through doing just automatic. Where, you know, after it was finished, I'd even be kind of concerned where the stuff was coming from.
And you are Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, phoning live here to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And your art will be on display tomorrow night at the B-Fly Gallery, 341 Water Street, second floor here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And actually, if anybody has any questions for Mark, the number to call is 604-822-2487, UBC CITR. I want to ask you, Mark Mothersbaugh, about your art getting Jerry, your bandmate in Devo, fired from teaching graphics. Is there some story about that, your art actually getting your bandmate fired?
He claims it's true. I think it's true. I think it could be true. He was an art teacher for about one semester at Akron Art Institute in the pretty early 70s. And he wanted the kids to keep diaries, you know, of thoughts, ideas, and visuals. And it was kind of, we had both taken classes at Kent State a few years before with a teacher that was he taught conceptual classes like materials and techniques, and Jerry and I were both kind of, you know, like attracted to people like Andy Warhol, because we liked the idea that he dealt with ideas, and he could work in any kind of medium like photography or fashion or producing Velvet Underground or directing or, you know, producing movies and doing printing and so he was kind of trying to encourage his class to make these kind of diaries of things that were going on in their life and to sketch in those and to write their thoughts down, and he marked some pages in one of my diaries and showed it to his class, and they went through. He said what happened was is that while he was talking to some of the kids, a couple of girls in cheerleading outfits went up and started going through the diary and finding things that he hadn't chosen to show everybody, to share with everybody, and immediately turned into informants or alarmists or something. And he said that was the reason why he only taught one quarter.
Now, what were you doing in the artwork there? I heard it was like pictures of you as a surgeon dismembering female bodies.
I'll tell you, there was a time. Okay, that, and it's getting a little more complicated here, but there was a time in the early 70s where a friend of mine, I lived in a house with about four Vietnam vets when I was first putting Devo together with Jerry and the boss. And one of the guys had an appendicitis attack, and he had to go to Akron Hospital. I can't believe we're talking about this. But anyhow, so this guy got his appendix out. It cost $500, and we're like, man, that was a lot of money, and it didn't take very long. What is an appendix operation? So I had some medical books that I'd got at a flea market for like 50 cents a piece. And we looked, and it was a very simple procedure. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to be a punk surgeon. I'm going to, take care of my friends for a lot cheaper than those rip-offs over at Akron General Hospital at charge. You know, we could save them all sorts of money. And so I was all set up to become a surgeon for a while. And there were illustrations, and the images I was doing then were influenced by those books.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Go ahead to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo.
Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo?
Yes, go ahead, caller.
Hello, Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Howdy.
You rock! You rock my world! Anyways, this is Mad Joe Satan. And I just want to ask you, I want to tell you, when I saw you on Saturday Night Live, I think it was still the 70s or early 80s, I can't remember, but I was at a party, and this freaking band came on, and it was you, and it was the most awesome thing I had seen in my life. I got to get off the phone, because I'm battling traffic here, but you totally inspired me. Tell me about that night on Saturday Night Live, and do 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 do.
Wow, Mark.
How did he do that? That was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I think he does it in his car. I think he, like, drives truck or something like that. Pretty amazing.
So is he blasting out to the freeway or something right now?
I think so.
Something like that,
huh? Look what you've done. Look who you've created.
Well, first off, I'd like to apologize for rocking you, whatever that means, because The Rock is... I would never watch any of his movies. And if we had any kind of influence that had anything to do with him, I'm sorry about that. Is that what he meant?
Perhaps. I
don't know what he meant.
Basically, look what you've created. That's amazing what you've created, Mark. Is that a typical Devo fan?
I'd have to see how he was, what he was wearing for footwear to really know for sure, but, he could be. He could be, yeah.
Let's check out this caller. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Nardwa.
Do you have a question for Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, who, by the way, is coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada tomorrow night, possibly?
I've got my passport. I've got my plane ticket. Now all I have to do is get my foot out of its cast and get up there.
It's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the B-Fly Gallery, and that's 341 Water Street. Second floor in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada here, but Mark's stuff's going to be on display for 2 weeks, so even if Mark doesn't make it tomorrow, you can go and check out his artwork for the next couple weeks at the B-Fly Gallery. But do you have a question at all for Mark Caller?
Yeah, I got a couple of questions. First of all, I remember seeing
Can you speak up just tiny bit, thanks.
First of all, I remember seeing a movie that you guys did. I guess it was your college days or something. It was called Devolution. Is that right?
It was called what?
Devolution.
The truth about evolution.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The truth about de-evolution.
Right. Is that available anywhere? I've looked for it everywhere, to buy.
Oh, well, you know what? I haven't looked at it. Rhino just put something out through Warner's. It was supposed to come out 2 years ago, and it's a compilation of all the videos we've done. But I haven't... I know that the pieces that we put on it are on it. There might be... it's been disassembled before, but I think it was reassembled for this DVD that they sent me a copy on Friday, and I haven't looked at it yet.
Yeah, I remember renting a movie of it years ago at a Video Stop, which is no longer around, and of course the video is now. Oh, I haven't seen it anywhere since, so that's why I thought I'd ask if I could order it online or if there's something.
I think you could just buy it at I think starting this week you can buy it at your good old neighborhood DVD store.
Oh, okay.
Or online, probably through Rhino.
Through Rhino, right? Okay. And another question. The band I'm in, we did a cover of one of your songs, Mongoloid.
Oh, yeah, good. I like that song.
Yeah, now, have you, is your music copied regularly? Like, do you have bands that do covers of your music regularly? Have you heard any other bands that have done your music? Or?
Yeah, a lot of people have covered it.
Hopefully you find out through royalty checks who's covering it, right, Mark?
You know what? Oftentimes, even still, you don't even know who, because, you know, that stuff is all so hard to follow. But, you know, there's been a lot of people from, you know, like Soundgarden and Nirvana to, Don Ho.
To Clawhammer?
Clawhammer. They did a whole album.
Has anybody else done that? Has anybody else recorded an entire Devo album? Like, there was Devo Muzak, wasn't there?
Yeah, we did that album. That was because we didn't like people having to be subjected to bad rock and roll when they came into a Devo concert. This was back in the, like, 1979, 1980. And so we decided to record Muzak versions of our songs off the first two or three albums so that... it could be a total evening of Devo.
Any other questions, caller?
Yeah, I saw you guys in, I think it was 1979 when you did that, working in a coal mine at the Pacific Coliseum here in Vancouver. And one of the things that really stands out was you guys were walking on conveyor belts. And I thought that was just awesome. And it still blows me away. I'd love to steal that idea.
It's all yours. I got to tell you, it was more difficult than you would think finding a way to hot rod the conveyor belts, because the company that made them, they wouldn't do anything that wasn't OSHA correct.
Right.
So we had to get them and retool the gearing ourselves. But yeah, that was kind of fun. They would pull us in and out of that kind of fast food temple we were performing out of.
It was actually your music that inspired me to go into chemical engineering.
Have you engineered anything for us lately?
No, I just work in the recycling industry, but...
Well, thanks so much, caller, and don't forget, check out Mark tomorrow night and for the next couple weeks at the B-Fly Gallery. That's 341 Water Street in Gastown, second floor, starting tomorrow at 7 p.m. Thanks so much, caller, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Yeah, and thanks for taking the time to speak to me, Mark.
Oh, yeah, thanks for calling.
All right, caller, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
What does doot-doot-a-loot-doo mean?
Do-do-do-do-do-do. It's just the ending thing that we do here on the Nardwater Human Serviette radio show here, Mark.
Do-do.
Yes, you got it. And I was wondering, Mark Mothersbaugh of the rock and roll band Devo, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada for an art show tomorrow night. Your early artwork that you did, you were doing like rubber stamping and stuff like that. Were you corresponding with Warhol way before Devo even started? Like, I was kind of interested by that. Like, you were in the art world even really before you really were in the art world.
Well, people like Robert Indiana and Irene Dogmatic, there were a lot of people who were into mail art, mailing artwork back in the 70s, like early 70s, and that's when, that's actually when I started doing postcard side stuff, was because of that. It was easy to transport, too, when the band started playing.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just had to hang up the phone because I'm at work, so I'm just going to ask my question and hang up, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo.
Hey, Mark. I'm a big Devo fan. I'm also a big Neil Young fan. I was just wondering if you could explain that connection for me.
In a roundabout way, it was Tony Basil and Iggy Pop that connected us up with Neil Young, because they were friends of Dean Stockwell and Dennis Hopper, who were making a movie with Neil at the time. And they played our music for him, and he said, "I want you guys to be the nightmare in the movie we're making called Human Highway." So he bought us a pair of cowboy boots and flew us to San Francisco to a club we would play whenever we were there called Mabuhay Gardens. And it was an interesting time. As a matter of fact, if you ever see the movie Human Highway, at the time we made it, I was just kind of really distracted by how everybody was kind of like old-time hippies. But now I look back at the movie, and it's pretty wild. It's pretty out there. There's a scene where Devo and Neil Young are jamming in a recording studio in San Francisco, and he had written a song called Out of the Blue Into the Black, but he's not singing. He's playing guitar. And Boogie Boy is sitting, has a pair of diapers on, and he's sitting naked in a playpen with a mini Moog on his lap, and he's singing it. And Neil Young keeps crashing his guitar into the playpen while we're playing this song until he finally crushes the playpen, and he's laying on top of the playpen. It's kind of odd to look at. It's kind of an odd rock and roll moment.
Well, Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, speaking of performance art and art, etc., on the set of Human Highway, how ripped was Dennis Hopper? I heard he was pretty out of control.
Yeah, he was monosyllabic at the time, and might have just been from how happy he was in life, but he did get kind of wild enough that he accidentally cut Sally Kirkland with it. He was playing a short order cook, and we were nuclear waste disposers who had to take barrels of nuclear waste and dump them in this river out in the desert. And we'd stop at Dennis and Sally Kirkland's diner and have coffee on the way there. It was nice when a couple years later, all of a sudden he regained all his vocal abilities again. That was nice.
And you are Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, tomorrow night to the B-Fly Gallery, 341 Water Street, second floor in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And if anybody has any questions for Mark, it's 604-822-2487 at 604-UBCCITR. And speaking of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, I was wondering, Mark, what are your connections to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? William Gibson, Rodney Graham, the heavy metal legend Thor, what do you remember about playing Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada?
Vancouver's actually an important, I'm sure, anytime you talk to people that have done major tours of North America, they can tell you Vancouver is important in everybody's mind because it's usually either the first place you play on a tour or the last place. So it has good memories either way. I just found the city to be very beautiful. I was up there for other things, too. I briefly did some stuff with Chris Isaac's TV show for about 10 minutes before I got fired. And
did that ever air?
Yeah, that stuff was on the air, but.
Oh, you were doing the music for the TV show,
yeah,
or you were a guest on the TV show?
For like about 10 minutes I was working on the show.
Oh, so you were a resident of Vancouver then for a bit? Or were
No, I was traveling in and out, but it was, you know, I got to like have days off where I could just kind of walk around and check the city out. It'd be a pretty great place to live, I think.
Do you remember any of your early gigs in Vancouver with Devo? Like, I remember the rock and roll band, the Pointed Sticks, backed you up.
Yeah,
years
they
ago.
Were great. Pointed, whatever happened to them?
Well, some of them are still involved in music. One of the guys sells T-shirts for the Rolling Stones, involved with Brockham Industries. A couple of them are still playing in bands, but I guess they never quite had the success that they had with the Pointed Sticks. We were quite proud of them from Vancouver.
Yeah, Pointed Sticks was a very good band. That was like one of the best North American bands in the, at that time.
Wow, where did you first come acquainted with them? Was it when you played with them in Vancouver, or were you...
No, some place called Rhino Records had 45 for theirs, and that's how I first heard about them. And then we found out they were available to play on the tour, and that was all good news. And they were great.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo.
Hey, Mark. I don't know if you were involved with it, but there was a TV show called Santo Bogito. And I heard some of the boys from Devo were involved with writing the score for it. Can you talk a little bit about that for us, Mark?
Yeah, it was a show that was, it was a pretty good show.
It was a dope show. The kids went ape shit over it.
Yeah, what happened was is it was by Klosky Chupo, the people that I've done a number of projects with them for Nickelodeon, and this was for, I think it was ABC or NBC. I don't remember. I think it was NBC. Mm-hmm. But it was up against... It was good. It had good songs in it. I wrote songs for it. My brother Bob and I co-wrote the theme song, Bob from Devo, Bob 1. And Bob 2 from Devo was our engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what other kind of like TV scoring gigs have you had in the past?
I've written theme songs for about 45 different TV shows, and I've probably scored about 60 different series.
Could you name off some of the most
some
memorable
of them
ones?
Like bigger, you know, like I did Dawson's Creek for a year or two before I couldn't take it anymore, and then I did Rugrats.
You did Rugrats
for a long time, and then my brother took over, and so he still does Rugrats for us. I've done all their movies, but I've done a lot of TV, a lot of film.
Well, thanks very much, caller, and doot doot a loop doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, and we're speaking here live to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, who's coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, to show his postcard art tomorrow at the B-Fly Gallery, 341 Water Street, second floor in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's bflygallery.com, bflygallery.com. And the stuff's going to be on display for the next 2 weeks, too. So if you miss them tomorrow night, you can check it for the next 2 weeks at the B-Fly Gallery in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I was wondering, advertising jingles, Mark, you're quite involved with that and stuff. What are some of the perks that you get? Like, you did stuff with Mr. Pibb and Ziploc. Did you get any little perks for working with Mr. Pibb or Ziploc?
Just the satisfaction of knowing that the subliminal messages that we stuck into the soundtrack were properly disseminated around North America.
But what particular subliminal messages did you throw into Mr. Pibb and Ziploc? And I was also wondering, were you the first people to throw subliminal messages in?
I don't know who else does it. We got inspired because somebody accused us of putting subliminal messages in our videos, like back in 1976, some woman came up, she was really mad, she said, I know what you're doing, and we go, what are you talking about? She goes, I saw in that video you showed, I saw it, it said submit and obey, and we're like, what a good idea. So, but we never did it, you know, and then when I started doing commercials, and sometimes there were products where you were like, I didn't totally agree with them, you know. Commercials are kind of fun because you get to experiment.
And you influence people, too. Like, I understand that Neil Young was influenced by a Devo commercial, and that's how Rust Never Sleeps came about. Like, you influenced Neil Young?
Well, remember, like a second ago, I told you about us jamming in that recording studio, Different Fur in San Francisco, and he was playing guitar, and Boogie Boy was... Well, to pay for the first Devo film, Jerry and I had a graphic design shop in Akron, Ohio. And one of the jobs we had was for a Rust-Oleum company. We came up with the slogan, Rust Never Sleeps, and we printed T-shirts for them. And we're printing T-shirts in my basement, you know, for this company. And, you know, we got to the end, and we still had some ink in the thing. And I had these stupid underpants I got from somewhere that were like, they were like Peter Max underwear or something, because they were like pink and orange and blue and green. And so I printed Rust Never Sleeps on the ass of the pants. And so I told you Boogie Boy was near naked. Well, he wasn't. He had bare legs and bare chest, but he was wearing those underpants, and that's all he had on. And so that's how, you know, that's how Neil ended up coming up, hearing about Rust Never Sleeps, because he just read it off my butt. Apparently he was looking at my butt at some time during that recording, that filming session.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, who's going to be here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Touchwood, tomorrow night at the B-Fly Gallery.
Well, first off, Devo is one of the world's most original groups and should be highly admired by anybody. And the second thing is what is the deal with the Swiffer?
I know. That's the one that we were thinking about changing the third letter of our band's name to H instead of V. We were thinking we deserve D-Ho for that one. But I don't know. Just ignore it and wait about 10 years.
Is it actually Devo singing that?
Huh?
Is that Devo singing that, or is that somebody else?
As scary as it sounds, I have to admit that is us singing it.
That is you. Well, at least there's good music on ads, if nothing else.
It's kind of, you know, it's like you never know if they're going to, for some reason, people want to use Devo songs right now on ads, and we decided we're
Devolution, that's
Devo
why.
Here. And, but the one, I'll tell you one that I like, actually, is there's one for Miller Lite right now that's using Freedom of Choice. And
oh, good.
There's
look forward to that. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks, caller, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-boop.
Oh, well, thank you, Mark, for filling in the gaps. And
shaving a haircut? Russian version, no.
More of a hockey thing, actually. If anybody else has any questions for Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, it's 604-822-2487 at 604-UBC-CITR. Mark's going to be here tomorrow night. And
now, I'm hoping, you know, I got one thing. I shot myself with a crossbow the other day, and if I can get the arrow out of my foot, I'll be there.
Touch, would you be there? But your postcards are going to be there for sure.
Oh, they're definitely there. I'm hopefully going to be there.
And people can buy a bit of
my
you.
My bloody little hand.
And people can buy a bit of you, too.
That's cheap.
And speaking of...
It's cheaper than anything else. It's cheaper than going to 7-Eleven or something. Almost.
And Mark, this last caller, thank you for answering the doo-doo-loo-doo-doo-doo ending thing. Really appreciate that. But the last caller kind of touched on this a bit. What are your ideals or philosophies for, like, doing ads and stuff? Like, I mention this because unlike a lot of punk record labels, you guys in Devo Inc. go after as much corporate stuff as you can. Like, you know, you play one-off shows for corporations, and your music now is heard more than ever. Like, it's, people know it everywhere because of doing all this corporate work. Now, I was curious, do you, you know, Devo Inc., are you aggressive about marketing your stuff, your music, or is it a manager or publisher that does
it? Pretty much we get chased down, basically, for that stuff. But it used to be where they couldn't find us. Now they can find us, that's all. Our feeling is we thought if there's anything you could have learned from the hippies, it was that and the punks was that rebellion is obsolete. And so our interest was, we were always interested in subversion. And we thought that you could do your best to change things from the inside working out. So that's how we got this morbid interest in
the most banal side of television.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo.
I also think you guys did absolutely great stuff, and I'm curious of a couple things. Your Neil Young story there is really great. Is there anything else that pops in mind that was particularly shocking? You guys were on a pretty cutting edge time of doing things that I'm sure you met lots of people that inevitably you must have concert stories that are different and a bit more extreme.
I want to interrupt your question, caller, by saying on that sort of tip, did you work with Jermaine Jackson?
Oh, yeah. We, Jerry and I sang, we sang on a song that was actually a black radio hit for him called Let Me Tickle Your Fancy.
Now, what was that like, working with the Jacksons? That's pretty crazy.
Well, we had this kind of, you know, they had some sort of interest in Devo, because at one point, Jermaine brought Michael, for Michael's birthday present, he bought him a ticket to see Devo at Universal Amphitheater. And he wanted us to play his song at that concert, but nobody in my band had played on it, so we didn't really know it. But he was so insistent, because he wanted to surprise his brother and jump on stage and sing with Devo and freak out Michael. So we're like, okay. So he came to our rehearsal the day of the show, and we couldn't figure out what key to play it in. And so what happened was, is by the time we did this show at the amphitheater, he jumped on stage, and everybody's going, what the heck's going on? And so the band started playing, and two of the guys, Bob 1 and Bob 2, were playing in the key of G, and Jerry and I were playing in the key that we had decided on, which was C. So for we went through two verses like that. It was pretty good. We gave his song a new bunghole, basically. We drilled it a new one, and I got to see Jermaine probably sweat more than he ever sweat in his whole life, and probably be in the biggest hurry he was ever in to get off of the stage. It was pretty interesting.
Anything else to add at all, caller?
No, I was curious if anything particularly strange happened in the early years. And also, I'm curious, you don't live in Akron now anymore, do you?
Actually, caller, are you William Jam?
Yes, I am.
Did you photograph Devo?
No, but God, I sure wanted to. I couldn't get a pass back then. I used to shoot lots of gigs as an Ardwar Nose, and I did see the one with the treadmills and was mighty impressed, but I can't remember why, but I just couldn't get the credentials at that point or couldn't get access.
Man, yeah, that would have been a...
Well, I know the caller is a big fan of Lena Lovitch from Ohio.
She's not from Ohio.
Isn't she from your area? Is there any Lena Lovitching connected to Devo?
No. Did you say you think Lena Lovitch is from Ohio?
Yeah, I thought she was.
Who's the caller?
I was putting words in the caller's mouth.
Yeah, no, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
no,
I'm William.
From England.
Okay, well, I just threw that
in there.
But
you know what? Chrissy Hine and I used to be in a band together. Her first band she was ever in was back in Ohio. She's a kid. Lena Lovitch did play a Devo song once, because Stiff Records put together this tour. They called the Be Stiff Tour, and they made probably not to anybody's choice, but they talked in about 10 or 12 of their acts into all doing versions of the song Be Stiff. So people like Graham Parker and Lena I don't even remember all the bands that played on that record, but it was kind of funny because you play the record and you get like 12 versions of the song Be Stiff.
Rachel Sweet was from Ohio, too, though. That's
yeah,
right,
she
right?
Did, she did a song, yeah.
And actually, we had an email question for you, Mark, from devofan@hotmail.com, who writes, did you ever meet Dave Thomas of Pear Ubu's father? Because apparently he looks like Orson Welles.
Oh. No, but... No, I never met his dad.
You never met Pear Ubu's dad?
No, I met David many times, and Dave actually, he used to be Crocus Behemoth at the time. And when he was Crocus Behemoth, he actually booked Devo into the first club we ever played outside of Akron, which was in Cleveland, called Pirates Cove. He was a nice guy. I remember watching Pear Ubu, and it was back in the days when they did all their singles that were... I loved their music back then, like 30 Seconds Over Tokyo and Non-Alignment Pact and Life Stinks and all that stuff. But I remember watching him pull chunks of his hair out of his head on stage every night, and I was going, he's going to be bald in a year. How can he do that? And he stopped, I think. But he would pull like big handfuls of hair, like Larry and the Three Stooges used to do.
Well, thanks so much, caller William, and doot doot a loot doo.
Devo!
Boop boop.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And we have a few last minutes left in the show. If anybody has any questions for Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo at 604-822-247, UBC CITR. And Mark's going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada tomorrow night, touch wood, if all goes well, at the B-Fly Gallery, 341 Water Street, second floor in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, for an art exhibition of his postcards. And his postcards are going to be there for 2 weeks. If you miss it tomorrow night, 7 p.m. you can go for the next 2 weeks after that. And actually, in studio, we have joining us right now, Travis from Bodyhead. Hello, are you there, Travis?
I am here now.
Now, Travis there, Mark, is from Los Angeles, California, and he actually has the questions for you, and he's actually seen your artwork. Go ahead, Travis.
I was just curious, how you ended up with the office you have, the big green building on Sunset, is that correct, at your office?
Right, the round, circular building.
Yes.
I just looked at, I was just watching it for a long time. Devo used to have a recording studio out in Mar Vista, and I lived in the hills in West Hollywood, and it would take me about an hour to get there every day, and just, the drive to and from took up, you know, just decompressing after driving for an hour and a half to work, and then it sucked so bad that I said, I got to get a place closer to home. So I just watched that building for years and years, and different people moved in and moved out, and finally real estate prices went down. And
I'm curious, what was it originally built for?
It was originally called the Institute of Beauty. It was built by an architect named Oscar Niemeyer. He's kind of a famous Brazilian architect. He designed it for a plastic surgeon. And it used to be the main studio where I'm at was a surgical arena, and women would flock there in the, like, starting in about 1969, women flocked there to, they would fall asleep and they'd wake up with big breaths and little noses.
That's exciting. Also, one more question. Do you have any good stories or any run-ins with Jeffrey Lee Pierce in Los Angeles?
I never, you know what, I saw him play, but never had any, you know, we never had anything come up between us that I remember. Who knows, something could have happened that I don't remember, but nope.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Travis, and we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead to Mark Mother. Can you believe this is Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo?
No, I can't believe it, and I'm also a big Devo fan, but
that's not true.
Go ahead, please, if you're a good caller.
But also, I think your post-Devo output has been really good, especially your soundtrack work, especially like the Wes Anderson stuff. Are you working on the Life Aquatic?
Oh, yeah, I've already sent music over to Italy. That's where he's at. He came in my studio a while ago, before he went to Italy, and while he was still working on the script, and he sat there, and I wrote music while he was writing the script, and he took off. He's been in Italy for a couple months now, and he's got another month or so to go, and then maybe a little longer than that. And then he comes back, and he'll move in with me again. And, so we're already into it.
Anything else you want to add at all, caller?
Speaking of the Life Aquatic, do you have any electric eel stories?
Electric eel stories? Actually, the one time in my life I ever got I had a run-in with one was about 3 months ago in Tahiti. I was on my honeymoon, and we were in a part of Bora Bora where stingrays come up at, like puppies and kind of jump all over you. And we were just, you know, you just scuba. You don't have to use, I mean, not snorkel. You just snorkel. You don't have to scuba. And we ended up getting not stung, but I got scraped by one on my knee. So I have a little bit of I still have some sort of a thing on my knee now, right above where the arrow is sticking out of my foot.
Well, thanks so much, caller. I think the caller hung up, so I guess we'll get you to do it, Mark.
Poop-de-poop.
And we're not finished quite yet. There's still a couple more minutes if anybody has any questions for Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, whose artwork will be on display, maybe that's a better way of phrasing it, for the next 2 weeks at the B-Fly Gallery, 341 Water Street, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, second floor. If you have any questions for Mark, it's 604-822-2487, UBCCHR. And Travis from Buddyhead, you have another question for Mark Mothersbaugh.
Yeah, I was curious. I'm not even sure who it was, but I heard Devo has recently started playing weddings. Is that true, of famous people? Is that true?
No, wettings. We play wettings.
Wettings.
Yeah, and basically that's because we'll go out and we'll play without our Depends diapers on. I think that must be what they were referring to. I had a wedding recently, but that's about it.
Oh, congratulations.
I can't say.
How about TiVo? Have you heard of TiVo, that downloading thing? And is Devo being ripped off by TiVo?
Well, no. If anything, I think Devo needs some TiVos so we don't have to rely on our memory anymore.
Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, what happened to the guy that signed you to a major label? Because I think it's great that Devo ended up on a major label right off the bat. Like, it's incredible. Like, your music was so challenging, and they signed you. What happened to the actual guy that signed you?
Bob Krasnow. He's in some version of rock and roll purgatory now, or heaven or hell or somewhere. One of those. Or maybe he's reincarnated as a DJ, I don't know, but he's the guy who signed us, and I thank him for that. But it was only because we'd already done an album with David Bowie and Brian Eno producing for us, and so it was hard to resist.
Is there a CD of your kids or something, like something that came out of New Rose in France in the early 90s, like Devo's Kids?
It kind of like that. You'd have to if you ever see the CD, then you got to go look and see what it's about. But it was a band called Visiting Kids, and Bob One was in the band, and I kind of helped produce some things for them.
And you are Mark Mothersbaugh of
Mutato Musica and Devo.
And Postcard Fame, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, tomorrow night to 341 Water. And just winding up here, Mark.
We're
just
flying it tomorrow, yeah.
Just lastly, wondering here, hip-hoppers, etc. I interviewed hip-hopper Sir Mix-a-Lot, and he loved Devo. What rappers have you met, and where has Devo been integrated into hip-hop and rap?
God, I don't know. I don't follow that stuff. It's hard enough knowing what I'm doing every day, let alone knowing what everybody else does. But I did some. Devo did like a birthday party for a guy. What's his name? The guy that runs Madonna's label. Do you know Guy? Siri.
Yeah.
That's a Guy of Siri, yeah. We played at his birthday party with, who was the people? Who was, damn it.
Well,
the actors and then, wait a minute, who's the.
Hey, who's the rapper?
Outcast. You think it's the Outcast?
I think so.
Travis from Buddyhead.
Oh, Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh, there you go.
They were pretty funny because they forgot what they forgot their lyrics, and so they were they got lost. That was good though.
That's pretty cool.
But I don't know what rappers are doing. I hear stuff. I hear people I wish we could influence. I love the Outkast. They make me want to do a band again, actually. I like them a lot.
Well, the great thing about Devo is you always had such great packaging, one of the many great things. Like, when you did your colored vinyl, had many other bands done colored vinyl like that? Like, yours was so great. And I also love the fact that there's Devo on 8-track. Did you know your stuff was getting released on 8-track?
Actually, the only version that I really love of the second album, Duty Now for the Future, was the 8-track version because it was a little more distorted and kind of sounded dirtier than the actual LP or the cassettes that came out. And it was only because my girlfriend at the time had an 8-track player in her car, and she got into my archives and opened up all my 8-tracks. So that I ended up hearing it in her car, and I thought, oh, that's the way the album was supposed to sound.
Did you get to go to the 8-track factory? Like, did you know it was getting made on 8-track? Because that's pretty exciting.
Well, I mean, we loved the idea, because even by the time we were involved with it, 8-tracks were already stupid, you know, and it was like, we're trying to imagine
know, because the only people who had 8-track players that were using them back then were truckers. So we were just trying to imagine somebody being at a truck stop and like going, let's see, Conway Twitty, Dolly Parton, Devo. Okay, yeah, let's get that one. Couldn't imagine it happening.
Mark Mothersbaugh, interesting instruments that you've experimented with. Like, are you still into the Optagon? Do you have a big collection of neat instruments at your headquarters there on Sunset?
Yeah, actually there is a pretty good collection of all different kinds of instruments, but a pretty large collection of odd experimental, analog mostly, and different electronic instruments. I have Raymond Scott's Electronium, which was the very first music composing machine ever made in the world. I mean, music that's self-composed. A machine that's self-composed. And it was a work in progress that he started when he was at RCA in the early days and kept it going in the 60s and 70s and even was still doing things in the 80s with it.
And lastly here, Mark Mothersbaugh, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Touchwood, tomorrow night to the B-Fly Gallery, Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, 341 Water Street, second floor in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, for your postcard exhibition. It's going to be there for the next 2 weeks. John Hinckley Jr. is going to be released, or has been released. You apparently collaborated with him. Is he going to start knocking on your door of the giant green building on Sunset now? Are you afraid?
I'm not afraid of John. It is true. We did co-write a song with him. We were reading his poems that he was writing for Jody Foster back in 1980-81. They were printing them up in National Enquirer. And we thought, wow, he's a pretty good poet. The stuff was pretty great. And so we thought, you know, I had written some music that didn't have any lyrics to it yet. And Jerry started singing the lyrics to this poem over it. So we thought, well, let's find out what happens if we try and get in touch with him. So we called the Maryland Bethesda Hospital. You know, we were at some recording studio at the time. I can't think of the name of it, but, you know, we just started calling Maryland Bethesda Hospital and got through to him and talked to him. And he said, it was a little discomforting when he told us he was already a fan and that had a couple of our records. But he did say he was interested in... you know, like signing on to Devo Publishing. So it's kind of odd. It's like other than General Boy and one or two other people, he's one of the few people other than the actual members of Devo that are signed with Devo Publishing.
And now he's out, apparently, isn't he? Isn't John?
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe he'll be performing more songs.
Do many people knock on your door on the big green building on Sunset there, Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo? Like, do people knock on the door like comedians? Like, aren't you near the comedy shop? Do any comedians bang on the door looking for some prop before they go on?
God, who was just, oh my gosh. See, now I can't remember. Who was the guy that came over the other day? There's like some of the, like, death metal. There were, like, death metal bands over there last week. And then a couple weeks ago, Poly Six, do you know who they are from Japan? They're a kind of interesting band. They were over and Polyphonic Spree has been over in the last couple months. A lot of people just come by and say hi when they're in L.A.
Is it kind of like the old-time Alan Freed type thing where, you know, like people used to audition for Alan Freed everywhere? Do people audition for you outside your building, like to start to play and hope that you'll sign them even though maybe you don't even have a record label?
No, I don't think anybody has any illusions that I have a lot of power. I think I'm not the... They probably look and they go, well, when's the last time he had a hit record? Maybe we better not waste our time at his place. You know, so, you know, I think if you're looking for that, you'd go over to, like, Babyface's studio or something and hang out there.
Or come on down tomorrow night to the B-Fly Gallery.
B-Fly, bring your audition tape.
To the B-Fly Gallery in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's 341 Water Street, second floor, 7 p.m. Mark Mothersbaugh, Touchwood will be there, right? Touchwood, if all goes well. You'll be in Vancouver.
If I can get this damn arrow out of my foot.
And also your stuff will be on exhibition at the B-Fly Gallery for the next 2 weeks.
Did you ever try and shoot anything with a crossbow?
No, I've never done any of that.
God, they are dangerous.
Is that sort of like a Eastern type thing? You know, Nuge is into that. Ted Nugent's into the crossbows. Is that like
I don't know what happened. I got talked into trying to shoot a target the other day, and I'm still stuck to my living room floor.
Ouch! Well, thanks so much, Mark. Really appreciate you speaking to me on the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show. Anything else you want to add to the people out there in Radio Land at all about your exhibition coming on tomorrow, or anything in general?
Choose your mutations carefully and dress warm.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot-doot-a-loot-doot. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The CITR News is coming up in one moment.